Latvian Museum, and welcome to a special interview episode of Latvia Weekly. I am your host for today, Joe Horgan, and instead of talking through the news with my good friend Otto Tabun, as we usually do on our weekly episodes, instead I am joined with a very, very special guest for a little bit of a St. Patrick's-themed episode today. So I am joined by Ruta Kapustaite, who is someone who knows quite a bit about Irish culture, having been involved in Irish dance here in Latvia for a significant portion of her life. So hello, Ruta. How are you today?
Hello. Thank you very much. Fine.
So it's great to have you on today. And so let's start at the beginning. So nowadays, you are known as the director, I believe, is the term of the Irish dance studio Cailí Rú. But how did you first get interested in Irish dance? Because that's not something that's extremely common here in Latvia.
Oh, you know, it was 23 years ago. So very, very details, really don't remember. I was a professional dancer many years ago, about 40 years ago or more. I was a professional dancer. Firstly, we had a dance jig. We call it jig, without details, without anything. But so before, actually, river dance performance and Eurovision in Dublin, I knew quite a lot about Ireland, about writers, and also we had only one dance. We call it jig. And we call it Scottish jig, but actually it was Irish jig. I've discovered later when I started with my studio. Then my idea actually was asked to teach children to dance. And my idea was to teach them world dancers, not only something, but and not only folk. I performed rock and roll. I love this dance, actually. Tango, flamenco, so gypsy dances, travelers, dancers. So, I mean, a lot of. But one of my friends played Irish music and asked me to do this kind of performance with them. So that was my first steps with the Irish dance. And then my new students, they just wanted to do only Irish dance. So now we do it 23 years.
Wow, that's amazing. So you started out with, you know, a lot of other different types of dances as well. Have you also done a Latvian folk dance as well?
Yes, we did. Of course, when I was dancer, we danced in Latvian dances, Moldavian and Lithuanian and Russian and Ukrainian, many different, actually. A lot of, so I know these dances, and technically speaking, I wanted to continue with. But my dancer decided that they want to do only Irish. And then every dance lesson, I went more deep into this them. And I understood that I have to learn more deep something about Irish dancing. Not only, you know, to be emotionally and eccentric, or you love to dance, you like to dance, but you must show by steps, by small things, by some special technicalities, I would say, of Irish dancing, we speak. So, of course, and I started to learn much more. And I went myself more deep into this program, into these lessons and my dancers, step by step. So anyway, if teacher doesn't learn by self anything, so then teacher can die, actually, as a teacher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't stay only on your project or only on your mathematic or, I don't know, whatever language. And I understood, to be honest, I wanted to close studio because I couldn't understand sometimes what I'm doing. And I wasn't very happy with some lessons, for example. Then I understood that I know what to say as a group. So now I continue to think 3 years.
So what would you say are some of the biggest differences between the style of Latvian folk dance and the style of Irish folk dance? Is there anything similar, or are they just so completely different that it's not useful to know one or the other if you're learning the other?
You know, yes, there is difference, of course. For example, I will start from one moment. I used to work for Holland Company in the beginning of 90s, just really before Ivar Dance was on the stage for Eurovision. And the hotel where I stayed after my work, they had a special room for something like whatever. And once I heard Lithuanian polkas there. And I was surprised at how it's possible in Holland, Lithuanian polka. So I went to have a look. And I saw a lady and man. They were teaching some dance, and it was interesting. And shoes, and the soft shoes, and then I just, okay, Irish dance. And that's it. I've forgotten about this moment. So then, of course, river dance, and polka steps in Irish dancing, a little bit different. Not like in Latvian. If we speak professional dance language, so they use different position, the feet position, to perform polka steps. Okay, so in Latvian dancing, there are not so many clapping dances. In Lithuanians, they have klumpe koja, that means like in English, dancing like clock. But in Latvian tradition, there were vilku dejas, that means wolf dances. So, but it's not very, tapping is not very, folk tapping is not very popular to perform now. So, but some steps, yes, we have, but the way how to do these steps is different.
Mm. Now, one thing I was just wondering, actually, so when you started doing the Irish folk dancing, so this was still, during Soviet times, correct?
Yes, but we had only one dance. Mm-hmm. We call it Jika, that's it. But actually, during Soviet times, we knew about Irish dancing.
Yeah, I was just wondering, though, was there ever any issue with the Soviet authorities that you're doing like a Western-style dance? Was that something that was considered, I don't know, a little bit suspicious in any way? Or was it not something that, that they would have been worried about?
No. Because dance is dance. It's just, it wasn't that, it was just performance. And of course, we knew about different dances, cowboy dancing and flamenco dancing and Mexican. And so we performed, we learned actually dances from all, let's say, world. So there is nothing about propaganda or something. So we had to learn. It was just like if you want to be dancer, if you want to be choreographer, you have to learn. You have to know traditions, and then you make a choice. What do you do, and how do you work? So it was very good for education for my, actually, and my colleagues.
Yeah, no, it's just interesting because I know that, certain music wasn't supposed to be played, and, there were certain books that, weren't really supposed to be read, but it seems like then dance was kind of a something that was a little bit freer than some of the other cultural aspects during the occupation, maybe.
Actually, we had to know. It wasn't very popular, like today, for example. Mm-hmm. But we had to know, and we knew that we knew exactly where is Ireland. We sometimes some news we knew about Ireland, at the university, I had to read a lot of books from Irish writers. So all everything what like, you know, this general. And like Bloomsday, for example, I had to write special project about this book.
Oh wow!
So actually, but I didn't think actually that I will start with Irish dancing. That's different.
Mm.
I knew, yes.
So what exactly, I don't know, what's drawn you so much to Irish dance out of all the other types of dances that you've done throughout your career? Why is Irish dance specifically so special?
Because of my students. They just wanted, yes, we have, as I've mentioned, the Rogues. And before Rogues, we were dancing citizens. And then we were every time more known and more interesting for Orient. And musicians said that maybe we change our name. And they were Rogues and we were dancers, were Roguettes. So, yes, and we were for some years together with this group. Then we started to work with Duonauta. Duonauta was, and actually is, late oldest group of musicians who started to play Irish music in Latvia. So, and Kaylee Rue, we are Kaylee Rue about 10 years, less than 10 years. And it wasn't my idea or my dancer's idea. It was idea came from Norway. Mm. Musicians from Norway said that better do Kaylee Rue on the stage, the name. And okay, and then now we are Kaylee Rue. But it's not my idea.
Well,
Rue in English, my name, Rue. And Kaylee is Irish.
Oh, wow.
Special party.
Yeah.
So Kaylee Rue would be kind of dancing Rue. Dancing Ruta, maybe.
Oh, that's...
So everybody likes this name, and now we are Kaylee Rue, and actually we will be Kaylee Rue for some years.
Very nice. Yeah, wow. That's
Thank you.
I didn't know that was where the name came from. So even though I am an Irish citizen, I just assumed that it meant something in Irish, the Kaylee Rue, but the Rue is you. That's very interesting. So what about Ireland in general? So through doing Irish folk dancing and you know, through this being such a big part of your life with a dance studio, do you feel like you've grown some kind of special connection with Ireland itself and with Irish culture?
I was thinking about this question. For me, it's very difficult to speak that I'm so fantastic. Actually, I am, and genius. But probably yes, because of when I started to work to teach students in Riga Choreography School. Of course, some of them started to think what about the future. And one girl was lucky enough, and she performed in Riverdance, actually. And she performed Shivna part, and she performed Russian Dervish. So that's a bridge, I think. So, and also when some local people who left Latvia and live in Ireland, and from time to time were coming back to Latvia for holidays. For example, children were learning Irish dancing in Ireland. Mm. So they came to me to have lessons, so kind of. We had a fantastic performance together with a dance school from Dublin. And then we had a special guest from Ireland as well. So maybe because of maybe because of all these years, and people know me, and sometimes we speak with somebody, and then what do you do? Say, I'm Irish dance teacher. Okay, and then what is your name? Ruta. Oh, you're that Ruta. So it's very popular now. Oh, you are that Ruta. So this is interesting. So yes, maybe, yeah, special connection.
Yeah, that's just so interesting. Yeah, because it seems like so much of your identity, like, you know, when I was actually putting together an Irish Culture Day that you participated in at the university, you were the first person who was recommended to me, you know, who might want to participate in it, because you're the Irish dancer or the Irish dance instructor. So that's so interesting that you have such a big part of your identity connected with this faraway place that, you know, you didn't really have necessarily family ties with or anything like that in the past. I don't know. Do you feel a little bit Irish in some way?
I can tell you that I really love in Ireland oaks. In Lithuania we have a lot of oaks and special forests, you know, with oaks, and oak for me is a very special tree, and Ireland has a lot of oaks, a little bit different, but anyway, and very similar, I would say, by character. Not in the beginning you feel that, for example, I'm sorry, like Irish people are not that friendly. We Lithuanians are not friendly as well. So then a few words later, and when you've got respect and people know you closer, so that makes difference, you know. But yes, a lot of very similar in this way for me.
So speaking of Lithuania for a second, actually, one thing I forgot to mention actually at the beginning is that you actually originally come from Lithuania. So, you know, we... I guess kind of in the West, you know, we look at Latvia and Lithuania as, you know, so close to each other. And, you know, I think a lot of the English speakers who live here and the foreigners who live here, you know, they think of Lithuania as very, very similar to Latvia. But, you know, as somebody who's lived a significant amount of time in, I guess, both spent a lot of time in both, are there any kind of like significant differences, between these two brother countries, or, you know, between, I don't know, the people in these two countries that you've picked up on it all throughout the years?
If we speak about history and we go back very, very, very back in the past, people, for example, people try to find a place for to new village in the forest. So they cut its trees. Deep in the forest, build it a village, and this place, call it Lat. That means clean place, like clean circle, Lat. And it was a very old Lithuanian language. And actually, first Lithuanians, we call it Latvians. Because of old language, very old Lithuanian language, we can't say 100% about this, but the idea comes that clean place in the forest, clean circle for village, call it Lat, and the people will call it Latvians, and. So this is very, yes, but by years, ages, different places, and of course the language, big changes in languages, and so now we have, what do we have? It's like English. Mm-hmm. People were taking to Australia, for example, you know the stories. And Australian pronunciation is a little bit different than Queen English or American English or Texas English. So it's history. So we just have something, some kind of general information. But it is Lithuanians, Latvians. It roots come from clean place in the forest.
Yeah, so then you don't really feel like there's a huge difference between, I don't know, the Latvian mentality and Lithuanian mentality, because I think there's a little bit more of a difference. People feel culturally compared with Estonia, for example, like there's a different, I don't know, kind of sense of humor or style of thinking. But you think there's not a big difference then?
I can tell you, we went to perform to Estonia, and some years ago, and it was our first visit to Estonia as a dance group. I can tell you honestly, if people couldn't answer in English, they spoke in Russian. But I was actually scared because of all these stories about, like, they don't speak Russian, and if you speak Russian, you're an enemy. This is just people, you know, and they were so kind, so nice, so open with us, and helped with everything. We had fantastic day, you know, performed there. And the same stories about, for example, Lithuanians and Latvians. I don't know, we are from Baltics. Maybe, of course, language, Estonian language is different. Lithuanian, Latvian, you can a lot of words that in Latin and Lithuanian same, but little bit up pronunciation, just a little bit. But we are, I can tell you, we are similar. Mm-hmm. So as you say, mentality. My mentality is like a Latvian and Lithuanian mentality together. Plus Irish mentality.
Yeah, very international, I guess. So you mentioned a little bit earlier that at the beginning, back when you started doing Irish dance, that people knew where Ireland was, but they didn't really know a whole lot about Ireland itself. Or you mentioned that you had a project in school. Do you think that that's changed at all throughout the years, especially now that we're both part of the European Union? Do you think that Ireland and Irish culture and maybe even Irish dance is a little bit more well known here in Latvia than it was in the past?
That, of course, it became known after river dance. When River Dance performed for Eurovision in Dublin, that's it. That was a bomb. And everywhere in the world, it became immediately popular. That huge step was after River Dance performance in Dublin. Next, if we speak about Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, we were as an Irish dance studio about 2 years or something. I don't remember. And River Dance went to perform in Tallinn. And my dancers could go. Well, they bought tickets and they could go. And they saw this performance, River Dance. River Dance never was in Riga, for example, or Lithuania. They were in Estonia. So, of course, after this, more and more people, children, wanted to start to try to learn Irish dancing.
Yeah, it's amazing. River Dance was also popular in the United States when I was growing up as well. But I think it's very hard for people outside of Europe to understand the impact that Eurovision can have, and some huge act at Eurovision, because we have nothing, really have nothing like it in the United States. Quite the same as that kind of like big cultural behemoth. Do you still follow Eurovision at all?
From time to time, because of I know a singer from Norway. She was some years ago on Eurovision. I know, for example, composer from Ireland. He wrote this song for Eurovision. I know, for example, Lithuanian singer He went to Eurovision, Latvian singers as well. We performed for special pre-party, Eurovision pre-party in Latvia, and we've met this Rybak, I don't know what his name, Rybak, he won, fellow from Norway, he won Eurovision, so with a nice fairy song or something. Also, if we can go back a little bit for how is popular Irish dancing, I just wanted to tell you that, yes, it's popular, and people like it to see. When we perform, people just really love us, and they speak, for example, like I heard myself and my dancers were like, oh, they said that you are Pearl, we are just like sparks. But this is a huge, huge, huge job. It's not like something jump, that's it. We know Irish dancing and we can do it. It's a huge job. So, and this job is not popular. This routine is not popular. Of course, popular to see and music, but routine is not popular.
Yeah, it's very, very, sounds like very hard work. I am so impressed, you know, watching you and your dancers perform. And, you know, we were very lucky to have one of your dancers in person here in Jelgava at the university for a culture event that I did. And also you put together a fantastic video. So how have you been able to continue practicing and continue during the pandemic? Because obviously that's changed how everyone's done everything. I mean, you know, for example, I'm not able to have this, you know, interview with you in person, unfortunately. And, you know, with studies, it's, you know, all through Zoom now. But is there some way that you've been able to work in a, you know, in a distance way? I mean, how does that even work with dancing?
Actually, it's difficult, really difficult to work on distance. But, for example, last year, so just shortly, last year, to be honest, I wasn't happy with all these stops, and I felt myself disappointed if that I can't do any performance. We started with a nice project, and then, bang, we have to stop. And then dancers and everything that were allowed to continue with lessons. Mm. But I couldn't come back to choreography school, for example, because of its school and different rules. So I couldn't go back with my studio. And I felt myself depressed. My dancers very strongly took me out from my comfortable room and chair, and we came back for lessons. Now it's not easy because of the distance, and we of course would take rules. We probably could do something on the street, but we went to Jelgava just to say hi for you from Jelgava. You know, like that, and we saw that weather supposed to be nice, but wind was terrible from somewhere, I don't know from where, and so it's too cold for us. For dancers, it's really too cold to do lessons on the street. Mm-hmm. Difficult to do lessons online because of... difficult for me. I don't see, for example, little finger on the left hand or right leg. So it's difficult for me. But we do. Mm-hmm. So we do. We take video a little bit, something different ways. But we do. We continue. And we wait when we can come back for normal dancers' life.
We certainly would all love to see you perform, and I will in the page for this for this episode. I will make a link, if you don't mind, to the video that your dance studio made for our culture event, because it's quite impressive. I am amazed by your dancers' dedication, because it looks like it almost looks like a film studio. Like there's some like hurricane of snow going outside, and they're dancing perfectly and looking like they're freezing in their outfits. So very 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 impressive. I will share that with our listeners as well.
Yes, thank you. You know, actually, we started normally, but when I started to film, to take a video, you know, and then I see this wind, and of course, dancers were prepared that do not do steps with heavy coats, so of course, they were prepared specially, but anyway, this wind was terrible.
Well, I thank you for your dedication to making that video, and I also thank you for being with us today. It was really great to have you, on the show, and be able to give us a little bit of a St. Patrick's Day feeling, which certainly doesn't feel like a normal St. Patrick's Day, unfortunately. But at least we can get a little bit of a feeling, and I will link to that video. How do you generally celebrate St. Patrick's Day here in Latvia, having been so involved in Irish culture for so long?
Actually, each year we perform, and each year we have special places in Riga, in Latvia, and in Lithuania, where we are invited every time. So we finished our performance, for example, 17th of March, and then we know exactly that next year we are same place again. So the first. Also, some companies did special days, like Gemstone. They organized a few years ago a big concert with videos, invited a lot of friends, a lot of people, and business people, and it was in a railway museum in Riga. It was really very interesting. We enjoyed it really. So, and we performed. Yes, also we did like, we invited people, did little bit kind of parade, walked around all city. It wasn't my idea, it's just met in Riga a lot of foreigners, very nice people, interesting, a lot of Irish people. So, of course, we learned from them something special, I would say, about Patrick's. And, of course, for children we did some programs to tell them about what does it mean, Patrick's, actually to tell them that there is a country, Ireland, in this world, and we read books for them. It was so many interesting things, except last year, this year.
I hope you have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day as well, that you and your dancers are able to feel at least some kind of normalcy and able to celebrate it in a good way. So thank you so much, and thank all of you for listening today. We will be back, Otto and I, in a little bit of time for the week here in Latvian news, and we will be talking a little bit about what happened this week. But until then, thank you all for listening, and visu labu visiem.
Thank you.